again. We're continuing our series, Up Close with Jesus. We've called it that because in this section of the Gospel of John, Jesus is about to die. But he's spending time with his disciples, he's spending time with his followers, and he's sharing with them some incredible truths. And that's what we're looking at. I'm going to pray and we'll take a look at it. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this part of your word. We do thank you for the love of Jesus Christ that we see. John, who wrote it down for us, describes himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. And as we look at this few moments before Jesus goes to his death, I pray that we would be people who are changed, that we're not the same, having spent time with Jesus Christ. And I ask this in his name. Amen. As I was thinking about these few verses, I was driving along, and I don't know if you've seen these trucks and four-wheel drives. You may even know the guys who own it. I think they're a local business. Utter declutter. But their tagline that I saw driving past me was this: "We transform your life. We transform your life." If you're not familiar with their business, they go into your house and, you know, it might be just filled with junk, a lot of junk. Or it just might be filled with the wrong kind of stuff that you've been accumulating. And they'll go in and they'll help you declutter and that in your house. And their promise is, transform your life. Happy days. I thought it'd be good just to pause for a moment. Not to think about your house so much, but think about your life. Think about your life. What is it filled with? It might be filled with junk. Might be filled with sin. Might be filled with addiction. Might be filled with bitterness. Or it might just be filled with the wrong kind of stuff. I was talking to a guy who was, he's just retired. And he was searching for something more. He said, "I filled my life with work, with achieving goals, with making other people rich. Yeah, with my family. But I wonder if there's more to life. I wonder if I've filled my life with all of the wrong kinds of things." He was really searching and seeking for something. I just want us to pause for a moment as we do think about our lives. And I think if we look at this passage, the theme perhaps is this: the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come to transform our lives. God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit come and transform our lives. They will do this if we love Jesus. Please keep your Bibles open at John 14. I'm going to flick back and forward between what we've read. So please pay attention so we can make sure what I'm saying is actually in the Bible. But at verse 15, this is what Jesus says: "If you love me, keep my commands." He says, "If you love me, keep my commands. If you follow my teaching and become like me, that's because you love me." That's what he says to his followers then, but it's universal. It's for any follower of Jesus. It's, "If you love me, you'll be a person who follows my commands." I just want us to take a look at two commands that Jesus gives to us. These are kind of a summary of a whole bunch of commands, of teaching. Love God and love your neighbor. Pretty simple. But actually, this is what Jesus teaches. He says, "If you love me, you will love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." And he said, "You will love your neighbor in the same way you love yourself." A neighbor in this means stranger, means somebody who is in need of help, means the poor, means enemy. How have you gone? I don't know about you, I struggle to love God with my whole heart because I love myself. I love other things. How do you go with loving your neighbor as yourself? I mean, the way that you love yourself, the time that you spend, the care that you give, money, the planning on yourself, is that the same for your enemy? But Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey my commands." But if we love ourselves and love other things more, like security and money and work, or even family more than God, we're not loving him. We're not obeying his commands. We're not following his teaching, as it says. The big problem is this: sin. Sin is simply loving something more than we love God. That's our problem. That's humanity's big problem. We love ourselves mostly, but often it's other things more than we love Jesus. And so we can't love Jesus. We can't follow his teaching. We can't follow his commands. But there's a bigger problem if we think about sin. Sin makes us unacceptable to God. That we can't love him. That God is holy and pure and righteous and absolutely sinless. And he cannot stand sin. He cannot stand us. Often we think, well, I'm only a little sinner. You know, I only do a little bit of sin. But for God, who is holy and righteous, absolutely sinless, I've got an almost 2-year-old daughter. She has a bath every night. Tick. If she does a poo in the bath, I'm not going to hop in there afterwards. All right. You just hold that illustration for a little while.
Thanks.
Yeah. I've got to get cleaned. That's how sin is. God is so... He is sinless. He is perfect. He is holy. He is righteous. He cannot stand even... It's like poo in a bath. Even a little bit of sin. I'm only a small sinner. It is disgusting. It's something that he cannot accept. And that's our problem. As sinners, we are unacceptable to God, and we need a solution. We need help. I want to say this very carefully. This is what Jesus is not saying at this point. He is not saying, if you obey my commands, I will love you. Now, I think some of us believe that. I think a lot of people, when they think about church, that's what they think it is. That's what they think Christians. If you can follow the rules in the Bible, then somehow Jesus will love you and bless you. Jesus is not saying, if you obey my commands, I will love you. And if you believe that, you're going to go crazy. Because you're going to be so unsure whether or not you'll ever get Jesus' love or whether you'll ever get his acceptance. And you'll try and follow as many rules as you can in the Bible, as much of the teaching as you possibly can, be as good as you can. And all you can really do is look around and see, am I better than others? That's all you can really do. And say, well, I'm actually angry at God because I can't do this. Or I'm angry at others because somehow they're not following these rules, and yet God seems to love them or bless them in some way. In my categories, maybe it's a big house, it's health, maybe it's an obedient family, I don't know. He seems to love them, but he doesn't love me. I am doing all these rules for him to get his love and to get his acceptance. Or I'll just be so full of guilt because we failed. We all failed this week. Or the thing that will drive us is fear. How can I do more? What can I do? Will I ever be able to grasp onto the love of Jesus ever? But he is not saying, if you obey my commands, then I will love you. He's saying something different when he says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands, but I know you can't do it because of sin. And we see this at the end of the passage. This is our solution. Jesus says, I love my Father, and I follow his command by dying to make you acceptable. I love my Father, and I'll follow his command to me. Just flip to verse 30. Here he is. They've had a meal together. That's the final meal they're going to have before he dies. He's been speaking to them in the room upstairs. It says in verse 30, I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. That's Satan. We've heard about him a little bit earlier. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. When he says to his disciples, come now, let us leave, they're going out into a garden where he'll be betrayed, he'll be taken, he'll be executed. And he's going to die on the cross for us. It is not Satan's plan, the prince of the world, Okay, even though Judas is in league with Satan somewhere, it is the Father's plan that Jesus will die. It is the Father's command. God the Father's command that God the Son, that's Jesus, will go and die for us in order to make us acceptable to God. What Jesus does on the cross is he takes all of our sin, all of our punishment. He takes on himself everything that is wrong with us. And when he dies, all that sin and all that punishment dies with him. He is the perfect sacrifice. He is absolutely sinless himself. He is God the Son, pure and blameless. And it's not just our sin, it's the sin of the whole world. And it's dealt with when he dies. Our sin is destroyed. God doesn't have any anger towards us. We are acceptable to him. When God sees us, he sees the pure holiness of Jesus Christ. We're washed in his blood, was one of the songs that we sang. We are made acceptable because of Jesus Christ. If you ask the question, does Jesus love us? Does Jesus love me? I can't be sure. If I've got to follow all these rules, I can't be sure. But if you actually read here, he went to the cross for us. Does he love us? Yes. He obeyed the Father, took our sin upon himself and died for us so that we could be acceptable and loved by God. So that we could be transformed. We're holy and we're pure and we are righteous and we are acceptable. And this is a gift to us. You can't follow enough rules. You can't do enough good to get this. It's a free gift that he just to anyone who will accept the offer and take his love. For anyone who will trust Jesus with their life, place their faith in Jesus Christ, is how the Bible says it. And you can start that. You can do that today. It's just a prayer. It's just a prayer where you say, sorry, please, and thank you. It's just a prayer where you say, sorry that I've loved myself and other things more than you. Where you say, please give me that free gift where I just trust in your death because you have done everything. And you say, thank you. Thank you that I know that I am loved. Thank you that I know that I am absolutely accepted by you. Maybe you pray that today. Maybe you're somebody who's still wrestling with the idea of how can my sin be transferred to Jesus? I don't quite understand that. How can his death cover the freedom and the love and acceptance? I want to invite you to a course that we're running in a couple of weeks' time, June 10. There are some cards up the back. It's called Christianity Explored. And this is exactly what we're going to look at. Just spend 5 weeks on a Tuesday night. There's some details on the back. Grab one from the back. We will explore those questions, any questions that you might have about Jesus Christ. I love my Father. I follow his command. I will die to make you acceptable. And then he says, if you love me, obey my commands. With knowing what Jesus has done for us, we still need help. We need someone to help us to be able to follow his teaching and to obey what Jesus has said. But if you look at verse 15, I'm going to read it onwards from that small section I just read. Verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, helper, to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus is saying, I'll go away. I will die. I come back to life again. I'll go away, but I will send you my Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ. Okay, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. You will have a helper who will live within you. Who will be within you. It sounds strange. But you cannot get any closer to Jesus than to have him dwell within you. It's the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son, a helper for us. And he will help us to be like Jesus. That's what it means to follow his commands. To become more and more like Jesus in what he taught, in how he loved, in how he acted. In verse 26, so you flick forward again, he talks more about the Holy Spirit and what he will do. This helper, this advocate, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. He'll be your reminder. He will share with you. He will help you know the truth of Jesus Christ. He will enable you to understand the word. He will help form you to be more and more like Jesus Christ. That's his role. Verse 23, just before it. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father loves them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. God the Father and God the Son in God the Spirit will come and dwell within you. When you pray that prayer and say, I want to trust you with my life. I want to trust in your death and not in my own loves, but in your love for me. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells within you. The Spirit of God dwells within you. If you're a believer here this morning, look around you. There are other people here who have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. I wonder if that impacts how you relate to each other. I wonder if that impacts what we're doing as we gather together as church, that here are a bunch of people who have the Spirit of God within them. We have the ability with the Spirit's help to be like Christ. That's what he helps us to do, to obey his commands, to be formed more and more into his image, to get rid of the junk and the sin and the wrong kind of loves that we've been accumulating in our life for our joy. The more we are able to follow his teaching and commands, the more we're able to speak like Christ and to be like Christ, to act like him and to love like him. I was reading recently about a girl who, she's in high school, and her Christmas part-time work that she does. She's got two jobs. And she works, she's a believer, not so that she can pay for movie tickets, which are very expensive, computer games or whatever it is, but so that she could, and she could have her 10th sponsor child. She sponsors 10 kids. It's a dollar a day. It's $10 a day. For someone who's in year 12, she's like Christ. His hands, his mouth, his love to those kids. It's incredible transformation for a 17-year-old. Holy Spirit helps us to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Be his hands and be his hearts. It helps us to love the Word. You know, this is where we meet Jesus. This is where we know all about Jesus. Is in the Bible. Is in his word. I was at a, I think it was three-year-old party. And there was all presents, you know, for the girl, dolly and the stroller. And we'd come and we gave it a little Noah's Ark set. They opened it. That was a little bit different. Then they opened the other present and it was a Noah's Ark story. Well, we're the Bible guys. My family, we're the Bible guys, and we want you to know about the Bible. We want you to meet Jesus Christ, and the place will be as you read about Noah and your kids play, and maybe you pick up the Bible, we talk about it one day, and you'll meet Jesus Christ. This is where you hear about his love and about his Spirit and about his teaching and how you can become like him and about his free offer of love and forgiveness. We're the Bible guys. Last week, we looked at the beginning part of John chapter 14. And verse 12 says this. It says that when Jesus leaves, he says to his followers, "You will do greater things than I have ever done." He says, "You'll be my hands and you'll be my feet and you'll be my lips as you go and you tell people this good news. And as you love your neighbors and your enemy and the poor, and it's going to spread out. It's going to be contagious. Christianity," he says, "is going to be contagious through the Roman Empire to Avalon." So people won't just be touched. They'll be changed. They'll be transformed. I'll send my helper to make you more like Christ and to make the other person more like Christ and the other believer more like Christ. And as you go out, you will do greater things than even I have done. As you go out and transform the world. J. Jesus Christ in his death doesn't leave us alone. We're completely forgiven and loved, but we're not alone. His Spirit dwells within us and helps us to become more like him. We don't do it ourselves. We do it in his power and we do it in his strength, and we're able to love Jesus, become more like him as we follow his teaching and his commands. We're able to love those around us and see those lives transformed. Why don't I pray for us? Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray for those of us who don't know your Son Jesus yet. I pray that we would investigate him further. I pray that we would meet him and we would be transformed. Father, that we would know your love and we would know your forgiveness and your freedom. Father, I pray for those of us who are believers as well. May we be so full of your Spirit and so clear in our minds and hearts and imagination that you love us, you have loved us and you do love us, that we can go out and obey your commands. We can go out and follow your teaching. We can go out and be your hands and your feet and your lips. And we pray for your Spirit and your strength and your wisdom and your help and your creativity in order to do this. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.